J. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Eyes that look are common, eyes that see are rare." Eyes that look are common, eyes that see are rare. No matter if you were a politician, if you were a pundit, if you were a healthcare expert, all of them said the same thing a year ago, and that is, we couldn't have seen this coming. Now, what was really ironic is that there were lots of preachers who had planned for 2020 to capitalize on the year and try to shoot for 2020 vision, and trying to make this concept throughout the year that they were going to preach about having the kind of right, proper, spiritual outlook on everything. And of course, that all fell apart. Services got canceled, Bible classes got canceled, everything got scaled back, and so that pretty much changed the outlook of everything. But there's still something to learn as far as the future's concerned. We can still take lessons that we got from living through this now for 9 or 10 months and apply them as we go forward. And I think the lessons that we learned from the last 9 or 10 months actually form really, really good, positive ways to look at what is going to take place in this coming year. And really, they form some very important spiritual priorities that all of us need to be reminded of. There were several of them in here as we're going through it. And I thought, it hits me. I need to know this too, and I need to be reminded of it. So what I want us to do is actually to concentrate on these for a few minutes and learn from them. Help them to let us see the proper realities, which ironically are those that aren't to be seen. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's just notice this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the 18th verse, Paul is concluding a thought about dealing with all kinds of difficulties, which again, very timely. And he says in the 18th verse, he says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So what we need to do is we need to put ourselves to the task of looking at proper spiritual priorities that we all need. So with that in mind, if you would, let's turn, please, to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, and as you're turning there, certainly we'll express our thanks and our desire. Our thanks that you joined us on the first Lord's Day of the year. And our gratitude that you have made this your priority. You know, priorities are just something that we decide are much more important than others. And so this shows that already your priority is in the right place. And we're grateful for that. Tonight, if you'll be here at 6 p.m., we're going to continue, again, kind of thinking if I'd had this plan to go through these lessons that establish authority and patterns for different activities that we take place that had to be put on the shelf. But in restarting those, tonight we're going to look at the pattern for worship, why we do what we do, and what we get out of what we do. So we pray that you'll be here at 6 p.m. Psalm chapter 22. I've asked you to turn there. Psalm chapter 22. In Psalm chapter 22, we need to understand and we need to recognize, we need to realize God's supremacy. And I'll tell you what, we've certainly been reminded of that. We're not in control of our lives as much as we think. We have that great individualism. We think that I am independent, I'm in command, I'm self-sufficient. We actually might think like William Ernest Henley penned in Invictus, "I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul." But we've been reminded that there's actually someone else in control. Psalm chapter 22, I've asked you to turn there. Psalm chapter 22 and verse 28. "For the kingdom is the Lord's and He rules over the nations." And guys, this is continued in the Old Testament. It's continued in the New Testament. In Daniel chapter 4, it's actually stated in three places in Daniel chapter 4. Let's just look in one of them, though. In Daniel chapter 4 and the 17th verse, Daniel 4, the 17th verse, this decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whomever he will, and he sets it over the lowest of men. That statement made three times. God is the one who is in control. The New Testament, let's just check there real quick. Acts chapter 17 and the 28th verse. Acts chapter 17 and the 28th verse. Here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, Paul is talking to people who don't know God. And he makes the point to them in Acts 17, 28, "For in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Everything that we do is in the hand of God." The first priority that we all ought to see is most definitely the supremacy of God. A second one that we need to consider, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And this one, I think, dovetails right in with the first one. Sometimes probably could have combined them, but I like them separate for us to make this point. We see plans in perspective. Because we've had everything canceled. We had gospel meetings canceled. We had people who had desires to go on evangelistic trips. I had those in the back of my mind for 2020. Those had to be canceled. Everything that we enjoy, sporting events and concerts, all of that. And again, we think that we've got it all under control. There is a tremendous lesson in James chapter 4, though. Let's start in the 13th verse. James chapter 4 and the 13th verse. "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit.' Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." You read stuff, and then it's got the asterisk. And the asterisk kind of points you down to look at the bottom of the page where the really, really fine print is. So our plans kind of now have a permanent asterisk. And this is actually a nice priority, I think. We learn that we do everything if the Lord wills. Now remember, in the larger context, in James chapter 4, look in verse 4. So just scan back to the fourth verse. Scanning back to the fourth verse, it says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So this is talking about worldliness. And if we were to put our collective thoughts together and come up with actions or attitudes that display or manifest worldliness, we're going to start listing all of these specific sins. And we're going to say, that's worldliness. And we would be right. All I want you to consider is that, put in the larger context, me going around, James chapter 4, me going around and thinking that I'll do this or I'll do that without any regard to God whatsoever is still a form of worldliness. And I need to make sure that, as James had said in James chapter 4, as you're looking down about that 16th or 17th verse, "If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and that boasting is evil." I need to make sure that I predicate what I do, if the Lord wills. I don't want to turn it into a cliche. I don't want to put on the air of spirituality by talking with you guys and everything that I say. "All right, I'll meet you in the morning if the Lord will." It's not a cliche statement. That's not what it's there for. It's there for it to always be ever present in my mind that my plans, there is a force that's outside of this universe that has an impact and has an effect on what all of us do. And I need to remember that. As well as I remember the supremacy of God, I remember that all of my plans are put in the perspective of the will of God. Guys, that is such a monumental decision. That is such an incredible turnaround of thinking and reacting to life for people. And as you've thought and as you consider, you concentrate on all of these people throughout Scripture who are doing that. It makes an incredible change in their lives. And I'll be honest, this is one of them that I have to get a little more used to, because I'm just like everyone else. Monday rolls around and I've got a set pattern. I've got a set amount of things that begin to happen on Monday, because on Monday, I've got to start working for next Sunday. It's just the way it is. So every Monday morning I wake up and here's the list that's starting to unfold. I need to remember, everything I do to the will of God, and I do it because of the will of God. That is an incredible, incredible lesson to learn. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Just remember this, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. And actually, this one is brought up, Old Testament and New Testament. Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to look in the 21st verse. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. If the Lord wills. Let's make a priority in 2021 to see the value of your faith. It was challenging to our faith. And I think if I brought up one word that all of us were thinking in some degree or the other, some more than others, is the word fear. You may not have personally feared catching a virus, but I'll bet you anything, you feared for people around you catching the virus. So we had fear. And we've learned, guys, that fear has a big, big effect. It can make us, some of the adjectives that you come up with, skeptical, suspicious, selfish, stubborn, short-sighted. It paralyzes us. And unfortunately, it degrades us spiritually. I've said before, and this is a statement that I wish I'm wrong. I say a lot of things and I actually wish I'm wrong a bunch of times. But all of this, the last several months, is going to destroy some people spiritually. Over the Christmas holidays, I had the opportunity to talk with another preacher, and he's the preacher with a congregation much larger than ours. And so I asked him, you know, his kind of observations about what it's doing to his congregation. And he said, there's a core of people that seem to be relatively unshaken. But he said, I'll tell you where it's absolutely decimated us. It's people on the fringe. So that brings up a very awkward question that I've got to ask. Are you one of the core people, or are you one of the fringe people? Because the core people are those kinds of people who have a deeply rooted faith. And they have a deeply rooted faith. They're able to encounter all of these kinds of things that happen in life. Whether it's something that happens in your life that only affects your life, or it's literally something that's worldwide. So, if you're a fringe member, what do we do about that? We build up our faith. John chapter 15, and let's look in the third verse. In John chapter 15 and the third verse. And this is an act that every one of us works on, even people who are strong. There are lots of people who understand they build their faith. How do I build my faith? I build it through the Word. Jesus said in John chapter 15 in the third verse, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you." I'm able to have cleansing because that Word's working within me. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. One of, to me, a very beautiful and a very meaningful expression is in Colossians chapter 1 in the 27th verse. Here Paul said, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And then here it is. "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you are clean because of the Word which I've spoken to you. Here is the hope that is within you. It's Christ in you. So how do we get Christ in you? How do you see the priority of building your faith? It's through Scripture. Let's look in Romans chapter 10, because in Romans chapter 10, this lays it out in such an incredibly eloquent way. In Romans chapter 10, let's look in beginning in verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Now we'll go to the normal place that you think of when you bring up Romans 10. But let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. "The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead." Where do I go looking for the righteousness of God? Do I have to go up into heaven to find it? Do I have to descend down into hell to find it? No. Look at verse 8. This is the eloquent part of it. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, the Word of faith which we preach. And if you confess it, it will save you. And he goes on and he talks about how blessed are the feet of those who go and preach that gospel. Why? Because, here we are, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But where is it? It's all around you. But it's got to be a priority for you. Now guys, to that end, we have, and I'll tell you, we've been very, very fortunate, just making my own little quick assessment of different congregations out there. We've been very, very fortunate to be able to have, when this period of time is over, a Bible class. And then on Wednesday night, to come back for Bible class. There's a lot of groups out there who are meeting, at least for an assembly. But not a lot of them are even trying to and attempting to have Bible classes. These are chances. These are opportunities for you and for your children to be exposed to people with knowledge and people with integrity. They have the opportunity to grow from that. And believe me, nothing is more important. So whatever it is that you're putting as a priority over it, I don't know what it is on Sunday morning. It might be just getting a quick jump on lunch. I don't know what it is on Wednesday evening. Maybe it's getting homework done. Maybe it's getting in bed earlier. Whatever you're putting a priority over studying Scripture, you and your family are far greater beneficiaries from what can be shared in this assembly. So please take advantage of it. You need to see your faith in 2021 growing and growing and growing. And being a part of this assembly is one of the finest ways and most effective ways that indeed is going to take place. We need to see the priority of relationships. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Because in Romans chapter 12, this is the best place that I can show this to you in a very, very quick way. Romans chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 5. One of the blessings of all of this when it started in March is that it put us all together with our families. And so we started to get closer with. We started to build relationships with maybe our wife or husband, maybe with our children. That wasn't quite as deep as it was in February. So in March, because we got the opportunity to spend more time, that relationship became deeper and deeper. Now, we've talked about before, some people actually had a big struggle through it. But I think that's an exception rather than the rule. The rule is most people tremendously benefited from the better time together. Now, the same point of view can be said when we do this now spiritually. And so we need to see the priority of those relationships, and certainly relationships as it falls to our own family, but relationships with each other too. The reason why I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 12 is because even though these statements, this phrase, one another, occurs a bunch of times in the New Testament, it occurs a lot of times in Romans chapter 12. So just very quickly, let's scan this. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I like that. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go to Luke 287 Church of Christ. And sometimes that's as deep as our understanding goes. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 tells us that there's a whole layer, there's a whole new depth of our relationship to each other, of my relationship to you and your relationship to me. We are part of a body. And because we are a part of the body, now watch this in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Look what it says. We're not individually members of the body. Yes, we are, but that's not the way Paul said it. We are members of each other. We are members of each other. Let's look in Romans chapter 12. Let's look down now in the 10th verse. Let's look in the 10th verse. So again, kind of jump down there. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Look down in verse 16. This is the last one that we'll look at. But again, trust me, these are all over the place in the New Testament. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. God created us for community. He created us for fellowship. I'll get to talk about that a little bit tonight. He created us to be together. And even though we come together and we wear masks and we don't shake hands as much as we do, and we're trying to do a little bit better about staying separated and all of that, it still doesn't change the fact that we absolutely need one another. My family. I've got two grown children. I've got one grown child who's still a part of my family in my home. My family needs to see Jesus Christ represented in your family. And your family needs to see Jesus Christ represented in my family. We need each other. So when I think about my preaching colleagues, the vast majority of them, I believe, have all the correct intentions and ideas ahead of them. There are some who get misguided from time to time. And there's one in particular who I believe is a bit misguided when it comes to numbers. So it's all about numbers. You know, what's the number? What's the number? What's the number? This is more than a number on a board to my right and your left. This is about the fact that we need each other. And my priority in 2021, and for the rest of my life for that matter, ought to be you and your spiritual well-being. And likewise, your priority, 2021 and thereafter, ought to be my spiritual well-being. It's more than just a numbers game for us. It's about us having the opportunity to build one another up in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, let's look there. Because the very, very great effective point is made in Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to start in the 6th verse. So here's how it reads. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted, this is where it really gets good. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Where are you going to do that? So honestly speaking, you've got the responsibility to do that in your life all of the time. Okay, so what that says, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. You've got the responsibility to do that all the time. I've got the responsibility to do it with myself and with my family all of the time. But we have this tiny percentage of the week where we've got the opportunity to root and ground and build one another up. We need each other. And consequently, let's keep reading. Because in verse 8, I've said that we're looking at some very positive things, and I hope that you'll agree with me that these are. But let's just take a little bit different point of view just for a second, starting in 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In that 8th verse, people cheating you, philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Where are you going to learn about that? Hopefully, it'll be here. And hopefully, if we as elders are up to our task and me as a gospel preacher, if I'm up to the task, then you're going to learn about this through the preaching and the teaching of Scripture. And so you become, what's the end result? Look at the end result in verses 9 and 10. You become ultimately complete in Him. That's why we want people to be here. We want people complete in Jesus Christ. Let's talk about some opportunities to do good. Opportunities to do good. Galatians chapter 6 and the 10th verse. In Galatians chapter 6 and the 10th verse, I'll tell you one thing that was indeed extremely encouraging, and this did not take long at all, is to see people, to see corporations, to see countries who were given to the relief of people, not just in our community, but all over the world, very, very fast. So after this began really in earnest in March, and it began to spread all over the world, and I'm talking about the lockdowns and the restrictions, spread all over the world by April and May, you started seeing a lot of people very, very zealous to do good. And that was incredibly appreciated. Because you look in the Old Testament and you look in the New Testament, and there's lots of examples of hospitality. There's lots of examples of people caring for other people. I've got up on the screen in front of you 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. That's the example of the Shunammite woman with Elisha. Remember, Elisha used to travel through there all of the time. He was kind of like a traveling prophet. And he traveled through there all of the time. So the Shunammite woman told her husband, look, let's build a little place for him. Let's furnish it. and it'll be his, and he can stay there. I mean, it's just great hospitality. Luke chapter 19, verse 8, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Jesus passed by. Jesus says, "You come down here, for I will spend some time at your house." Zacchaeus gave him hospitality. We can see spiritual hospitality in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Timothy, and also in Philemon. Paul talks about encountering his brethren, spending time with them, and they refreshed his spirit. We need to use 2021 and look at these great opportunities that we all have to do people good. And we can do them good physically, and we can do them good spiritually. If you're doing that, if that's the way you spent the second half of your 2020, that is something that's extremely commendable. I may not have a lot of specific examples in the room because you may have done it very, very quietly, and that's great too. But if you did it, that's commendable to you. And that is a priority that we need to take, not just this year, but the rest of our lives. Let's seek these opportunities to do good. Let's also consider, we need to learn how to patiently wait. This is a great place to go back to the Psalm. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 27. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 27. And we're going to look in the 14th verse of Psalm chapter 27. So why bring up patiently waiting? It probably doesn't take a lot of ingenuity to wonder why we need to think about this. None of us are just great at waiting. And honestly, we don't know when this is going to end. So vaccinations are upon us. And I definitely know that some people in this room have gotten them. A cure may be pretty close, but we don't know what lies ahead between this day and when that moment comes. When the moment where we can say, you know what, I look out now and everything is back to normal. Because again, there is something greater in control than just what we can do. So Psalm 27, let's look in the 14th verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm's got a lot to say about this, but let's just look in Psalm 62. Psalm 62, let's look in verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 5. Psalm 62 and the first verse, truly my soul silently waits for God, from Him comes my salvation. Then you look down in the 5th verse, and it says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. So what do we need to do? We need to wait patiently, we need to wait humbly, we need to, as Ephesians chapter 4 in the 2nd verse says, we need to learn how to forbear with one another. We need to learn how to extend kindness with one another, because I'll tell you, something that this has done is that it's brought up that there's lots of different points of view. And those different points of view fall on very, very wide ends of the spectrum. And so, because we don't know when this is going to end, we're this many months into it. Personally, I think we're probably closer to the end than we are to the beginning. But I don't know. We got really different feelings about a lot of different things. And we need to be patient with each other. We need to be forbearing of one another. We need to be kind to one another. And we need to remember the Lord. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. I had mentioned earlier that there's lots of people who have fear, and maybe the fear isn't in catching something, but the fear is in someone else catching it very close to you, and could end up being extremely sick and even perhaps passing away from it. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice what Paul said, and this is a very important, critical element of prayer. You let all of your supplications, you let all of your requests be made known to God. But that seventh verse does not say that everything will be granted to you as you wish. It doesn't say that because there's just more factors at work in the world. But it does say in that seventh verse that the peace of God will guard your heart. You'll learn how to patiently wait on God. And that is a very, very helpful priority. As I think about myself and I look forward to 2021, I get just as much anxiety ridden about what's happening physically to people, about what is happening politically to my country, about what is happening benevolently all over the world. I have just as much anxiety about that as I would imagine you do. And I need to learn the lesson to wait patiently on the Lord. But let's finish this with the final one of seeing the priority of hope. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. When God created the world, in Genesis 1 verse 31, God declared it very good. Now what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you in a nutshell what it means this morning. It means that it was free of disease. It was perfect. It didn't have any sin in it. And because it didn't have any sin in it, it didn't have any degradation of the universe in it. So what does that mean? It didn't have sickness. It didn't have that stuff. But brethren, that didn't last very long. So now as we are turning the page on a new year, it's just getting underwritten all of the time. Nothing in life is certain. But we do know that we can put our hope and our trust in God. A good, good place to get great reconciliation from that is Romans chapter 8. So I'd ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in the 18th verse. And the 18th verse, I believe, will explain sufficiently why this is such a good specific passage to look at. So Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We've all got sufferings. And particularly, a lot of us have even been through sufferings with what all is going on right now. So, what we go through now is not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. In one verse, that is an incredible thought. But let's keep going, starting in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation, and the creation I don't believe is the whole entire universal creation. I believe we are new creations. We are new creatures in Christ. So this yearning expectation is not for the entire world. It's for those who are regenerated in Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. The creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. What are we waiting for? What are we hoping for? We're hoping for that ultimate taking away of what we are going to be spiritually, the old body being gone, what we're going to be spiritually being taken to a whole new realm, a realm of reward, a realm of reward that's far from what this earth has become. And so, yes, while I see hope on the end of the horizon for the end of this, what I need to make absolutely sure that I always prioritize, and I don't let it just get buried under the minutia of what I've got to do every week. If we listed everything that we had to do every week, it'd be 150 things. And you and I, spiritually, we just get buried under it. I do. We just get buried under it. I need to remember this is a priority for me and for you. It's the hope that I enjoy in Jesus Christ to one day be elevated, to be exalted, to be lifted up beyond all of this. And that, I think, is a great priority to remember. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 in the 18th verse, he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Pray that your eyes will be open. Peter Block said, your spiritual vision is not only a roadmap, but also a compass. Your spiritual vision is not only a roadmap, but it's a compass. So what that's telling me is that I need to use this year, and I need to look for Scripture, and that's going to guide me. I need to put my trust in God. I need to realize that His hand rules over everything. I need to not be someone of fear. I need to be someone of faith. And I also need to realize that I need to take this time and immerse myself in good brothers and sisters in Christ who can build me up and help me to constantly keep that great hope in front of me, which is the reward of heaven. These are tremendous priorities for the new year. And they're priorities, honestly, that I hope and believe that you will take and you will make for yourself. All of these priorities come to people who spiritually give themselves to Jesus Christ. We read that, really it is a promise in Romans chapter 8, that all of these sufferings are not going to in any way compare to this eternal weight of glory that's coming. You put together 2 Corinthians 4, where we began, and Romans chapter 8, where we ended. And the cumulative thought is, there is something out there for us that's much, much greater than everything that we've been facing. We just need to have the strength and the proper perspective, the right priority, the ability to see what's important and put that above things that are less important. That comes to you if you're one in Christ Jesus. So let's make that happen today if that's what you need. Or if you're someone that needs to be restored back to God, if you're someone that needs to be brought closer to God, and maybe there's something that just weighs on your heart right now, and it needs to be gone, it needs to be alleviated, that's what we're giving you the opportunity to do. That's what our invitation's for. Again, we're here to make people vehicles of righteousness to one day be exalted in heaven. Come up here and let us know, please, if you will, while we'll stand, and Richard will lead us.